This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
We are asking the question, would you like to hear the Tom Hartman Show Monday through Friday on KBOO? What does this mean in terms of airtime to meet the needs of the outcast liberal progressives in Portland? 15 hours out of the 168 hours, KBOO is on the air each week. Please go to kboo.fm and look for Tom Hartman on KBOO, then take this two-question survey. If you are not currently a member, please join us today. Pass the link along to others. We need to hear from the entire community if we are to make informed decisions. Please understand that this is only an informational gathering survey to guide possible future programming changes. Please contact me if you have questions or concern. My door is always open. This has been KBOO Station Manager, Development Director, Executive Director, and Ever Watchful Navigator, Lynn Fitch. Thanks.
Good in the Hood returns to celebrate its 20th year, June 20th through the 30th. Good in the Hood is a multicultural music and food festival featuring a parade, information village, kids space, arts and crafts, and an ethnic marketplace. Saturday, June 29th, Good in the Hood will be at Lillis Albina Park in North Portland with music, and KBOO will broadcast live from the park from 2 to 7 p.m. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
My lover lays me down inside the garden soil. We rest our heads upon the breast of worlds unknown. We stare into the skies, then watch them come alive. We stare into our eyes, never turn our heads. My lover lays me down beside a bed so soft. We watch the feathers rise, undetermined where they'll fall. We stare into the walls and watch them disappear into the ceilings tall, till they're no longer here.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, June 19th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Cascadia Forest Defenders has got a tree sit up at White Castle. Timber Sale and Warehouser has just put the icing on the biggest timber sale in the history of Cascadia. It is enormous. And this summer, the Ninth Circuit Court in California is weighing the question of whether companies have the right to take preemptive is the key word here, legal action against peaceful protesters. This is, of course, Shell versus Greenpeace, and the law firm representing Shell is none other than our own Stoll Reeves. If you will feel like paying a friendly visit to our Portlandia friend Stoll Reeves, we'll put that information on the website. And now for the Freedom of Information Act comes around, once again comes through for us. Don't forget, it's easy to file. I've put a list of websites that provide all that you need to know to file your own Freedom of Information Act, including a very amusing video that basically it gives you all the high points in just a few minutes. For now, though, the Freedom of Information Act has provided us with a list of the so-called indefinite detainees at Guantanamo. There's about 40 of them. One committed suicide, another had a heart attack. And these are what the government likes to call the high-profile detainees. Virtually all of these men are on hunger strikes right now. And the National Weather Service has this for us today. Occasional rain, highs near 65, bit of wind, 5 to 8 tonight. Likely we'll have more rain with a low around 54. Tomorrow it looks like 50-50 as far as showers go, with a high near 65. And tomorrow night will be a bit drizzly with a low around 54. The alternative forecast, we've got a waxing gibbous, flower moon in Libra. Pretty much all of the lunar gardening advice is remaining steady. Cyanotic and biodynamic suggest growing into planting internal seed-bearing fruits. The sidereal outlook moon in Virgo, they say dry and barren, good time for garden maintenance. So that's about it for the alternative forecast as well as our conventional forecast. We do have news from around Cascadia. We wanted to speak today with Cascadia Forest Defenders because authorities have known the location of the White Castle timber sale located outside Myrtle Creek. And for a while, law enforcement officers from the Bureau of Land Management and Douglas County Sheriff's Office have consistently visited the protesters every day. There have been no arrests so far, no reported closures on the timber sale unit. More on that story in just a bit. Right now, we have Jeff Patterson with the Bradley Manning Support Network on the line, ready to speak with us about where we are right now in the court-martial proceedings for Bradley Manning. Good morning, Jeff. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Sure, Chris. No problem.
Well, this is certainly, thanks, of course, to Edward Snowden's revelations, has really served to emphasize the significant historical significance of what Bradley Manning has revealed. The obfuscation seems at this point to be frustrating, Judge Lynn. I wonder if you could clear up a few of the basic questions. Where are we right now? It seems to be in a pause, a sort of a hiatus at the moment.
Well, Bradley Manning's court-martial started on June 3rd. We've just wrapped up the third week of the court martial. We expect it to last a couple more months. The government has been calling many forensic experts to testify that Bradley, you know, download information, gave it to WikiLeaks. For those of us who have been in the courtroom, like myself, it's extremely boring, and because Bradley has already admitted to doing all the things that the government is proving that he's done. Bradley's defense is literally that he is the person who did it, and he's trying to explain why, and why it was for the common good, and how no negative effects have come of that. The government, of course, doesn't care about any of that. They want to say he broke the law, and now they want to send him to jail for life. I have to say, though, nothing bad has come to light for Bradley in the court-martial proceedings. The military is overcharging him on many counts, and so far from what I've seen, they're falling on their face trying to prove many things that Bradley simply didn't do. So why they're overcharging him, I guess, is a political issue. They have unlimited resources, so why not try to send him to jail for life and then maybe get half of that versus charging him with what he's already admitted to and maybe only getting 10 years?
Well, with this current round of revelations, Snowden was brave enough to come out with. What effect is this going to have on the manner in which the government goes about prosecuting Bradley Manning? Because at first it seemed that their performance was somewhat, shall we say, lackluster. They assumed that this was a slam dunk and that they wouldn't have to work very hard. And now it seems that whistleblowers are in the forefront of even mainstream news around the world, and they are heroes in the popular culture. Indeed, these people are heroes, and they are setting an example. They themselves are setting an example of what true courage looks like in the current political climate. What effect have you seen in so far that Snowden's revelations have had on the manner in which the prosecution is carrying out?
Well, there's two things. One is the military probably feels that they have to prosecute Bradley even more. They're worried about an avalanche of whistleblowing, an avalanche of their secrets being spilled for the common good. So, in that sense, Bradley could face more harsh sentencing in that context. It's hard to know, though, because people who are deciding this case, they identify with the military, many military people whose careers have, quote-unquote, been ruined by Bradley. His immediate supervisors are being paraded onto the stand. So the military is deciding his fate. We're at a disadvantage in the military courtroom, but we'll see what happens. On the other hand, we've had an avalanche of support in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, as the trial started. 1,000 of us marched on Fort Meade on military property to support Bradley on June 1st. This morning, we released a celebrity video at iam.bradleymanning.org with Russell Brand, Oliver Stone, Maggie McGuire, and other actors, all of them stepping forward to say, "I am Bradley Manning."
Jeff, we're out of time for that. I'd like to get you back on the show either tomorrow or Friday. I'd like to actually ask my next question would have been, how is he holding up? That's all the time that we have. We also have here Ron Seifert is joining us with the protest, the opposition to the Keystone XL, something that has not been in the news recently, but nonetheless is ongoing. It's something we need to keep focused on. Good morning, Ron. Thanks for being with us today. Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. The protest in Chicago, 22 people arrested. They were released, but we have news from around the country here in Cascadia, of course. Shell versus Greenpeace has retained the services of Stoll Reeves to make the case that peaceful, preemptive legal action against peaceful protests is, of course, in the public interest. Can you talk a bit about the summer of opposition to the Keystone XL, because September is coming up on us fast?
Well, certainly, there's a number of different groups trying to come back and build more awareness and presence around this pipeline over the summer. The larger anti-extraction movement at the end of this month, next week, is going to be taking action all over the country in protest and resistance to coal, fracking, oil, and quite a number of groups are going to be doing actions to voice their resistance to Keystone XL. In Texas and Oklahoma, there have been ongoing steady blockades of the pipeline. TransCanada continues to push back their deadline, or excuse me, their schedule for when they expect the project to be online. So the resistance continues to grow, and it is encouraging, although the other side of that is projects all over the country continue to move forward. As we all know, the fracking industry and the extraction industry is at a desperate place, and this is really can be a turning point this summer, and the actions that grow and the community at large, if we're willing to really draw a line and say enough is enough on some of these huge projects like the Keystone XL.
As we run out of time here, Sue, could you tell people a little bit about the KXL Pledge of Resistance campaign? This is Tar Sands Blockade. Your organization, I believe, has been central here in igniting the opposition to the Pledge of Resistance. Just let listeners know what that's about briefly before we go.
Certainly. So the Pledge of Resistance campaign targets the Obama administration and the State Department. There are between 50,000 and 60,000 people around the country that have pledged to take direct action or civil disobedience, pledged to participate in acts of civil disobedience to influence Obama to make the decision to turn down the pipeline. And the first of such instances happened this week in Chicago, as you noted in your introduction. Over 20 folks in a peaceful protest in front of the State Department office in Chicago were arrested there, voicing their opposition, and several of those folks were Obama staffers, either during his 2008 or 2012 campaign.